Mind mapping has emerged as an essential tool for leadership and collaboration with a wide variety of applications. So how does mind mapping work in professional nursing practice environments? Well, let's find out with Jill Fargo, a transitional leader and independent contractor working with various healthcare organizations. This is Today in Nursing Leadership, a podcast from the American Organization for Nursing Leadership. I'm Bill Klaproth. Jill, so great to talk with you. Thank you for your time. So first off, can you explain to us what is mind mapping?
Sure. And it's a pleasure to be here. So thank you for having me. Your question is a good one because most people, when I start bringing up mind mapping or people attend a session, their first thought is, what the heck is mind mapping? So if one Googled mind mapping, most references would describe it as a strategic planning methodology. But the mind mapping that we do is a little bit of a twist on that concept, and it helps us explore with the participants their thoughts related to usually their work environment. That's usually what we're talking about. In that session, I ask questions about being happy, mad, sad, and scared. And that guides the conversation. And then I just listen from there. Start out with happy, ask them a few questions. And as the participants share their thoughts, I will write them on our mind map flip chart sheet of paper. So it's pretty informal. And again, we're there to find out in a way that they can relate how it's feeling in their work environment. And once we get through the happy, mad, sad, and scared, then I will spend a couple of minutes talking about how we use the mind map and what do we do with the results. What comes up on happy, mad, sad, and scared are interpreted in different ways. I share that with the participants. And then what we do with the feedback is, if I'm the outside facilitator, first thing that I do is sit with their leaders, and we plan this all ahead of time. We start to plan for the after work because there's plenty of work that comes after you have a mind mapping session. In a nutshell, I hope that gives you an idea of what mind mapping is.
So do you meet with people as a group or individuals?
Usually the group size that is best for me in doing this work has been a group of about 20 or fewer participants. I have done much larger groups, but it's not quite as personal. That is really one of the key good points of having this kind of conversation. It's talking a language that the participants understand, and it's a small enough group that people feel like they can listen and talk and actually have a conversation just like you and I are.
Right. So once again, you collect all of this information. And then ultimately, what do you do with it? How do you operationalize this information that you've uncovered or discovered?
Once the mind map is done and we look at the work that we did, now we have a wall of mind maps, so happy, mad, sad, and scared. The happy stuff are the things in that work environment that the participants view as happy. So they drive not only retention, but that's what gives them their commitment to the work of the work group, makes them want to stay. So that's where the retention actually comes into. So you're not going to want to change a whole lot of happy stuff. And if we start solving some mad, sad, and scared stuff, it will add to the happies that we have.
So Jill, when it comes to happy, mad, sad, scared, could you just give us a quick example of some of the questions you may ask?
Sure. Let's use the mad mind map as an example. So I'll start that part by asking the group, what comes up in your day that brings a sense of frustration? The stuff that makes you say, under your breath, or maybe the need to count to 10 or even take a time out.
So you're listening, you're writing, you're getting all of these thoughts about the workplace, what makes people happy and what makes them mad and sad and scared. That's got to give you and the group an interesting insight into the team's collective thoughts and feelings when it's all up there on the walls. Are people kind of like shocked or like, whoa, look at this, what we just uncovered?
The biggest thing, once they're looking at the wall of all these mind maps, probably the most common comment is, wow, we're really mad. Because mad, that frustration, it tends to be the maps that have the most feedback. During the exercise, so for example, as long as we're using mad as the example, the mad map or the information from the mad map becomes the to-do list for their leader. Because there's lots of energy around being mad. So the group is very happy to see leadership put some work into or leading the work to get some of these frustrating things solved.
So the leader now knows the issues and can go to work solving those issues. Does that lead to better productivity, employees that are more engaged, a healthier work environment, improved patient care and satisfaction? Is that kind of the end result, the desired outcome of mind mapping?
All the things that you just mentioned are the result of the mind mapping. So it can be all of those things. Let me just give you a quick example, if I could, of some of the outcomes of the work, because that might solidify it a little bit more for you. Some of the outcomes that I have gotten over my years of doing this is we have, in one organization I worked with, we decreased the serious safety events from 8 per year down to 0. In another organization, we decreased the number of non-ICU cardiopulmonary codes by 75%. On the improvement side, with some improvements in our throughput and some realignment of our delivery of care, we decreased the hours per patient day by 15%. And the decreased labor cost with that initiative was $1.2 million.
That's a lot of benefit.
Yes. And there's some retention numbers that we, with outcomes, as well as the kinds of measures that we use in magnet organizations when we are writing our document and our proof of being magnet worthy.
Wow, really interesting. Are there a lot of organizations that do this? Jill, it sounds like this would be beneficial for everyone.
Well, it's not a methodology, or at least the way I'm using this methodology, that is taught in any of our leadership programs. I have done mind mapping at 6 different organizations, and they've been pediatric and adult, acute care, ambulatory care settings, physician groups, so service lines for physicians. And I have personally done direct mind mapping with over 500 participants in my career. And I've taught numerous nurse leaders how to mind map. And one of my reasons for putting in an abstract to share this with other nurse leaders out there is because I have seen the outcomes. I've seen the value. I've seen how frontline staff in particular feel so empowered by having leaders who understand their work environment that I wanted to share it with as many leaders as I can. And I freely, in my session, teach them about mind mapping so that they can leave my session and go do some mind mapping in their work environment. And of course, I would always be available to assist them in any way.
So Jill, for someone interested in mind mapping, what's the next step?
After listening to the presentation at the virtual conference coming up here in September, one of the things that I include in the slide deck that I present are the detailed instructions. So every single step of the mind mapping process. And I show them during the talk what those steps are. So they're hearing it in my presentation, but they walk away with the details. And there are details on how to conduct a mind mapping exercise, what to do with the results or how to interpret them, and then what you need to do to plan on putting a plan together for the improvements that should come out of the mind mapping information. So they have all of it. All they have to do is follow the playbook that I give them at that presentation. Obviously, I give them all my contact information if they need help in any way. They have questions, they want to review how they're going to do it. They want to invite me to their organization or discuss it with their broader leadership. I could do a conference call, whatever would be helpful for them to use this valuable technique that really gets at the heart of what is most important to the work group who's having this mind mapping conversation.
It's easy to see the benefits involved with that. Jill, thank you so much for sharing your time with us and talking to us about mind mapping today. We appreciate it. Thank you again.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
That's Jill Fargo. And for more information, please visit aonl.org. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and check out the full podcast library for topics of interest to you. This is Today in Nursing Leadership. Thanks for listening.